Well, praise the Lord. God is good. We are enjoying Jesus, aren't we?
Yes, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Well, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word with these, your people today. I thank you that revelation knowledge is flowing freely, unhindered and unrestricted by satanic forces and our demonic hindrances. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to speak through my vocal cords, think through my mind. You know the needs of these, your people, not I. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Well, amen. Hallelujah. As I was saying, I like walking by faith, man. I love it. It's fun. Walking by faith is very, very fun. Well, we're going to continue the series that I talked about on Thursday. Thursday was just a little foundational instructions about it. So this is a new series we're starting entitled Kingdom Resurgence. This morning we're going to talk about understanding kingdom citizenship. But this kingdom resurgence is a word that the Lord dropped in my spirit a few weeks ago. I had to look up the word resurgence. I mean, it was powerful. But basically, he wanted me to understand that there's a prophetic work that he's doing to initiate kingdom principles that will usher in the judgment and justice for his people. Now, remember, as I said on Thursday, this judgment and justice is not against the people, but it's against spiritual forces of darkness that has hurt his people. Say it again. It is judgment and justice for his people. The judgment is against demonical forces that has hurt his people. All righty. So it's a strategic, and this is key, it's a strategic awakening that's taking place where believers will rise in authority, identity, and purpose. It is a mobilization of his church that will have tangible results. Again, it's a mobilization of his church that will have tangible results. It's going to reflect heaven's agenda with teachings about the kingdom and the lordship of Jesus Christ that's going to produce supernatural signs and wonders, confirming the preaching and teaching about Jesus. Amen. So let's get on into this. Let's start with section one, understanding. Section one, your kingdom citizenship. Section one, I want to talk about your kingdom citizenship. All righty, this teaching again, this particular teaching is going to help you develop your identity in Christ, get it even more rooted and deeper in your heart, get those roots deeper so the fruits can become prettier, guiding you to live by God's truth instead of worldly ways. So you're going to start learning to be guided by God's truth and not worldly ways. It's going to reveal purpose and show how to become, bring heaven's love and power in everyday life. That's important, everyday life. So let's look at this here in the book of Philippians 3:20. It reads, "For our citizenship in heaven," notice the word, did you see that word, citizenship? So our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we await for his return. But what we must understand is his return is predicated on a mature church that can usher that return in. Very important that we understand that. So that's why he's got me teaching on maturity and growth. In the kingdom of God, citizen means you are legally and spiritually recognized as a member of heaven's government. Remember in the book of Acts, when they was trying to cast out demons, and it was like, "Paul, I knew, but you, I don't know." And he jumped on them and tore all their clothes off because they wasn't recognized as a kingdom citizen. So when you're not recognized as a kingdom citizen, the enemy won't back up off of you because you don't know who you are.
Right.
And if you ain't saved, you need the mercy of God, and you need a good Christian that's saved to help you out. Ultimately, we want to get you into the kingdom so that you can begin to partake of the benefits of the kingdom. You hear me? So you are born again into a new identity. So when we got born again, you got a new identity. You didn't just get saved. You also got assigned. You received an assignment. Mm-hmm. You received a job assignment. As Pastor Tony was talking about, you know, we have work to do in the kingdom. And it's important that we find our purpose and our assignment and stop having selfish ambitions. You are governed. I'm talking about just our citizenship. When you operate your citizenship, you are governed by heaven's laws. Heaven has spiritual laws. I'm not talking about the laws of salvation of the old covenant through bulls and goats. I'm talking about spiritual laws of heaven that brings principles. That's what Jesus did. He brought the kingdom of God with the spiritual principles to tear down the kingdom of darkness.
Yeah.
So you are governed by heaven's laws. These laws are spiritual. Led by the Spirit. So you're led by the Spirit and empowered to represent the King. The King Jesus. Should be King Jesus, but the King. I like that. The King Jesus. He's the King. That's my King. Yeah. Who are you talking about? That's my King. King Jesus on the earth. The King. He's the King of Kings. You have spiritual rights as a citizen. Most Christians believe in the Lord, but they struggle in many areas of their life because they don't understand their spiritual rights as a citizen because they're not being educated to their citizenship. Okay. A person who belongs to a particular country, state, or commonwealth by birth or naturalization has a legal recognition of rights and duties as members of that entity. So in the United States, we are citizens. We have rights as a citizen of the United States. We're supposed to do something productive to make our society better.
Yes.
That's the way the world operates. It's the same thing in the kingdom, but we operate in kingdom principles because the kingdom of God rules over all, and we're his children. We're his ambassadors. We're citizens of the kingdom. Are you getting this? So continuing on with section one, we're only going to have two sections today because I got a lot to minister to you. Again, your kingdom citizen. What kingdom citizen includes? So what does your kingdom citizenship include? It includes access to divine authority. Access to God's divine authority. When you need help, you can get God. You can petition God. I put on Facebook about petitioning God. You can petition God for help. You're a citizen of the kingdom, so you can go before his throne and ask for help. Is this under, you getting this? So you can ask him for wisdom, for provisions. Wisdom. And strategies and witty ideals to succeed in this world system.
Amen.
We're his children. And he wants us to have more bills than money. He wants us to be more bills, more money than bills. Thank you for correcting that. Yeah, the devil wants. That's what the devil wants. The right. Devil wants you to have more bills than money. Thank you for catching me with that one. No. God wants you to have more money than bills.
Amen.
He wants you to operate in overflow so you can sow into the kingdom and be a blessing to others. All righty. Your citizenship means alignment. This is important. Alignment with heaven's agenda. Thank you, Lord. Of righteousness. Heaven's agenda is righteousness, peace, and joy. And what? The Holy Ghost. That's heaven's agenda. The kingdom of God is on the inside of us. That means we're supposed to be living from the inside, from the kingdom inside. Glory to God. We live by the kingdom inside. Man, I ain't even got to scriptures yet. I'm getting happy. Hold your horses. Hold your horses, boy. We got to teach this thing today. Identity. Your citizenship gives you identity as a son and daughter of the King. glory to God, of the kingdom of God. So that changed your whole perspective of how you see yourself. See, people are trying to change themselves without seeing themselves in who they are in God. As Pastor Tony said, self-helps don't help you. Only the Holy Ghost can change you. Glory to God. The Holy Ghost changed me and is changing me. So you get identity as a citizen. I had to go get my driver's license. I couldn't find them. I was blessed with some things that's happened in my life, and I needed my identification. I couldn't find them. Oh, my. So what I do, I had to go get information to prove who I was. Come on now. Come on. There's certain rights in this earth, even as a citizen of the United States, you can't partake of if you can't prove who you are. You need to prove that you're a citizen of the United States of America. Glory be to God. So when you can prove you're a citizen of the kingdom, glory to God, demons and devils bow and give way to you, because you are operating in embassy, diplomatic immunity. Glory to God. Dude, man, y'all got to get this today. Man, oh, glory to God. Locker room is over. It's time to graduate so we can move as mature sons and daughters of God. Transformation. Kingdom citizenship brings transformation through the word and the spirit. Not worldly by worldly systems, but provision and protection. So your kingdom citizenship gives you provision and protection. Even if you fall on hardship, He brings provision. It brings provision and protection to you. You get this. Angels begin to work for you. Hallelujah. Administering, because you're an heir of salvation, and the angels minister for you as heirs of salvation. Oh, yeah. Continuing on. Your kingdom citizenship. Look at this. As a kingdom citizen, you got to understand you're born into royalty. I taught on that. A revelation of your royalty. Yeah. See, when you get a revelation of your royalty, you behave different.
Amen.
You understand? You behave different. See what I'm saying? When you see your royalty, you carry yourself as such. Glory to God. I'm better than this. That's beneath me. There's certain, I don't know, I was thinking about coming to America. You remember he sent the money to King Jaffe Joffer, and you know, and here he come with an entourage. Found out my son works. Boy had money with his name on it, with his face on it. Glory to God. Man, there's some money that's been ordained for you to be in your bank account before the world was founded. Yeah, glory to God. I said there's some money that's supposed to be in your bank account before the world was founded. Glory to God. And angels are gathering it and bringing it. Glory to God. Hey, glory to God. Bring my money to me now in Jesus' mighty name. Why? Because I'm a son of the kingdom, and a son and daughter of the kingdom can't be broke.
Glory
to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In a multitude of people is the king's honor. Glory to God. They got to come hear about Jesus.
Amen.
It's a spiritual law. Glory to God. We understand this is spiritual laws. Come on, settle down. He told me I got it. This is important to Jesus, man. He's, oh, glory to God. Help me, Jesus, man. It's hard to get through this thing, man. This is good stuff. 1 John 3:3 in the AMP reads, look at this. This was Jesus answering to say, I surely and solemnly say to you, unless a person is born again, Nicodemus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, look at this, renewed and sanctified, he cannot ever see and experience the kingdom of God. So there are some people that are attending churches and ain't born again. I told you about when I was teaching the first time I was teaching a message when I was licensed to preach at the church I went to when I gave my life to the Lord, received my calling, and someone was serving as an usher. And they'd been there for years. I believe they were the head usher. And I began to teach the word, and I did the best I knew and understood. And they came up for the altar call. Right, what you up here for? You know, I just realized I ain't saved. That blows my mind. Well, God had to bring, he always brings that back to me. So believe me, there's people that are in church that ain't saved. They're serving, but they ain't saved. So we got to be careful that we don't just appoint people in positions to serve and they don't know their Savior and they don't have their identity. That's why people struggle a lot. So anyway, let's move on. And I, as a pastor, am responsible for making sure you know who you are in Christ. Amen. That is my job. And I'm going to do it. Galatians 4:7 says, so you are no longer slaves. See, you're going to be a slave if you don't understand this. Can't wait till we get in to talk about that. Because it's part of receiving your inheritance. Mm-hmm. You are no longer slaves, but a son and a daughter. And if a son and a daughter, then you're an heir. You see that? An heir through God, an heir through God, through Christ. So you're an heir of God through Christ. Mm-hmm. I'm paraphrasing this. I just picked this out just to add some things to John 3:3. It says, Romans 8:17 says, if children, then you're heirs. And if heirs of God, your co-heirs are your co-heirs with Christ. This is very important scripture to meditate on. That thing pop in your heart, man, you got something going there for you. Amen. You hear what I said? It's got to pop in your heart. It's got to get out of your head and you got to see this in your heart. What I'm talking about is heart revelation knowledge.
Amen.
Not theological intellectualism. That don't work. That only creates arguments and debates. But when you get an understanding of who you are spiritually for real, man, you don't argue with people. You just go on about your business, man. Let him that is ignorant stay ignorant still. Okay, let's move on. Continuing on, you are reborn into royalty. Let's look at 1 Peter 2:29 where it says, and you, but you are, look at what it says here, you are a chosen what? Generation. So we are a chosen generation. We've been chosen. Glory to God. We've been chosen. I've been chosen. My wife chose me. I chose her. Then she chose me back. I chose her. Then she chose me back. Glory to God. You know, that's what you got to do with Jesus. Jesus chose you, but you got to be chosen. You got to be chosen back. You got to choose to choose him back. So you got to want to be chosen by him, God, dog it, before he can accept you as the chosen. Right? Amen. Glory to God. Say this with me. I choose
to be chosen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, you got to, by the Lord now, by the Lord. Well, somebody out there got a Boaz waiting on them. Somebody, you know, somebody got a beautiful woman that God got for them. But you got to give your life to Jesus first. Find out your divine assignment in the kingdom. And then he'll hook you up with your, you know, who you're supposed to be, your roof. Or somebody, doggone it. Yeah, your roof. Roof in church waiting on Boaz to come by. Boaz got to have some money, though, man. Roof on them, you know. Boaz got to know his purpose.
Right.
Do you understand that? Boaz got to know his purpose in the kingdom. Too many people getting married and don't know their purpose. You can't even lead your family in Jesus. You can't even lead your wife in a Bible study. Because you don't know the word. And a pastor should never appoint someone that doesn't know how to share their salvation with someone. Glory to God. This is under the Holy Ghost. A pastor should never appoint someone to a position if they do not know how to share their salvation with someone. If they can't go to those scriptures and share Jesus, they are not ready to serve in the kingdom. You got to know your identity. You got to be able to share who you are. What has Jesus done for you? Are you still living the same way? Well, he's still working on me. Then why are you serving and you don't know your identity? That's like giving keys to a kid that ain't got their license. I was telling my wife about how my uncle, okay, we're gonna be talking about this for the rest of the year. So I ain't rushing this teaching. I stole my uncle Keith's, my real uncle, blood uncle Keith's, prelude back in the day. And I took it on the joyride. You know, I was a kid. That's what kids do. They do stuff that they ain't supposed to do because they ain't ready. They ain't mature. Man, I almost took that. I came around the corner so fast. I almost tore the side of a tree, man. I was so scared. I hurried up and got that thing back. And it scared me so bad. I said, I'll never do that again. What was the problem? I wasn't trained. I wasn't prepared. I didn't know how to drive. I didn't understand about, you know, how fast that car was going around that corner. It was an angel. It was God, man, help me, man. I should have tore that thing apart. See, when you got a cold in your life, angels protect you. He's protect us from a lot of foolishness we did. Let's move on here. So 1 Peter 2:29 says, you are a chosen generation, a royal, look at this, royal priesthood. That means we represent people before God. That's our, we'll talk about that. A holy nation. We are a holy nation. His own special people. Isn't that awesome? You ought to be happy. I am God's only special, own special people. I'm special to him. Oh, glory to God. Right there will destroy low self-worth and low self-esteem. When you understand that you are special to God. Walk around digging inside yourself trying to figure out what's wrong with you. Nothing wrong with you, dude. Dumb. You just ain't read the scripture and you ain't getting ministered to. Because my job, our job is to tell you who you are. You're holy. You're accepted when you're above reproach in God's eyesight. Read the Bible. And you've got to learn to acknowledge every good thing that is in you that is in Christ. It's called the law of displacement. You get filled up and fed with who you are in Christ. All the things that ain't in Christ floods up out of you. Glory to God, man. I'm teaching good. Uproot all that old goofy stuff. Nothing to figure out. You just got to look at the scripture. As a man meditated in his heart, so is they. So if you don't meditate on who you are, see, and you meditating on your problems, you don't have them problems. Meditate on the solution, Jesus. He's already solved the problem. You're holy, you're acceptable, you're special. That you may proclaim the praise of him. Our job is to proclaim the praise. See, it's easy to praise him. I like what Pastor Tony said. When she was teaching, it's easy to praise him when you understand your salvation and you have a deep heart understanding of what you were saved from and saved into. Glory to God. Amen. When you let that become real to you, there's too many people. I love God and God this, God that, but their life ain't changed. What does that mean, Mom? That means they haven't really tasted salvation. It ain't became real in their heart yet. They don't know what they've been saved from. They, you know what I'm saying? They still, you ain't saved if you're still doing the same thing. You're not walking in your new identity. You don't know who you are. Well, that's something the Holy Ghost got to do. But you ain't supposed to be comfortable going to church practicing sin. Something wrong. Too many people go to church comfortable practicing sin, talking about, well, that's grace. Grace is not in your life for you to be a sinner. Grace is in your, it's called a stay of grace. It's a stay of grace so that he delivers you. But some people don't want to be delivered. Okay. Ephesians 2:19, it says, now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners. Look at this. But fellow citizens. This is important where we're going today. Fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So you have a citizenship. Now, section 2, I want to talk about identity and code of conduct. That's what we've been, that's where the Holy Ghost. See, glory to God, glory to God. When you, hey, glory to God. When you understand your, oh, glory to God, your righteous identity. Righteousness is not what you do. Righteousness is what you are. Glory to God. You were born righteous. Your born righteous nature is your born again spirit. But you got to learn how to crucify your flesh and learn how to live out of your spirit. You take dominion over your flesh man with your spirit man. Glory to God. You got to feed on the word for your spirit to be strong enough to put that flesh underfoot.
Come on.
Yeah, glory to God. Why? Because you have an identity. You're identified with the Lord Jesus. And as you understand your identity, you take on code of conduct. Glory to God. There's a code of conduct. Look what it says here. For those who are led by the Spirit of God. See, led, not driven. We're led, not driven by the Spirit of God, are children of God. See that? Glory to God. Let's look at Galatians here. In Galatians 5:18-21, it says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Did you see that? The Spirit is not going to keep you under the law. What is the law? The law is spiritual. Mm-hmm. That produces the effects of the curse in your life when you break them. Okay, we'll talk. We're gonna learn a lot of stuff. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. This is the work of the flesh. This is the works of the flesh, right here. Which are adultery. Well, I got a problem with adultery. I got an adultery problem. I need to get counseling. No, you got a problem with your flesh. Mm-hmm. You don't counsel the flesh out. You crucify the flesh. We're talking about Christian folk. We ain't talking about worldly folk. Worldly folk need counseling and it don't work. You know, they say that, what you call those people that talk to people, psychiatrists and psychologists and all that? Very high rate of suicide. What's up with that? Because it's of the world. Now, a Christian psychologist is a powerful person if they understand their identity. So you get those people in the office and you bind them devils out their mind. Point them to the word and tell them who they are in Christ. Mm-hmm. See. Praise the Lord. Get them saved. I'm just saying, well, wives, you better get somebody saved. Salvation belongs to people. Jesus died for them to have it. He's already prepared. Jesus already provided salvation for you. You just got to believe it and receive it. Huh? You got to just receive what Jesus has done for you. All right. So it says, this is the flesh. This is the evidence of flesh. This is how you know a person is the flesh. Adultery. Fornication. You going to church and still fornicating? You're in the flesh. Ain't no. Call it what it is, doggone it. It's called the flesh. We might be wrapping up right here, man. Uncleanness. That's the flesh. Huh? Uncleanness. Lewdness. That's the flesh. Idolatry, idol worship, your cars, clothes, jewelry, anything in this world is an idol to you. Football, some of you travel to go to a football game and won't travel to go to church. That's your idol. It's called the flesh. If you save, it's called the flesh. You're still living out of your worldly flesh nature. You haven't taken on your new identity and the code of conduct of walking in the spirit. Well, Brother Larry, we're going to get some good stuff. This is the good stuff. Because the kingdom will not work until you understand that you got to deal with these areas in your life before there's going to be a kingdom resurgence that will take place. We got to get the church from being so fleshly and carnal.
Amen.
And counsel people the right way. Counsel them with the word. Tell them, this is your problem. You got a flesh problem. Hatred. We got hatred going around in the body of Christ. What is one side like in one group of politicians over there? Ain't none of them over Jesus. Now, neither one of them is about the kingdom of God. They're operating in the kingdom of the world, and we sit up taking sides. I ain't took a sides. I ain't got no sides with them. Because both sides have areas that are right, and both sides have areas that are wrong. Yes. How do you fix it? They need to get saved and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And they need preachers that ain't scared to tell them the truth and stop taking sides. Mm-hmm. I don't take no sides. I don't like that junk. I'm on the Lord's side. They ask me, I'm telling the truth. You're wrong. And you're going to hell. There's some things you just don't do. God likes taking care of the elderly. Yes. You don't take their health care from them. That's ignorant. God don't like people being, like children being, what do you call them? Aborted. That's evil. God ain't in abortion. So both sides have areas that they need to understand. It ain't of God.
Amen.
This is this shit? What y'all taking sides for? The kingdom comes to take over. You little weak preachers, because why? They going to take your 501(c)(3) from them. I'm sorry. Be good. Jesus said be good. See, that's how you beat that flesh. No, that ain't flesh. I'm just being honest. But you know, I'm telling you the truth in love.
Amen.
Where I stop at? Mm-hmm. Contentions. Jealousies. What you jealous of somebody for? Ain't nobody like you. Jesus, God broke the mold when he made you. Ain't nobody be like you. You're original. You jealous of somebody else for? You're in the flesh. Outbursts of wrath. Yeah, that's the flesh. Look at this. Selfish ambitions. Selfish ambitions. You know, a lot of people, oh, God called me to do this. I'm doing the work of the Lord. You holding back my ministry. Wait, first of all, the prophet, the spirit is subject to the prophet. If you all mad and bent out of shape, you in the flesh. My ministry. It's Jesus' ministry. And if people don't receive you or the ministry you said Jesus gave you, shake the dust off your feet, baby, and go on. Stop taking it personal. Pray for the people. But if you're angry about it, you're in the flesh. And you ain't doing what Jesus told you to do. That's why you're in the flesh. Dissensions and heresies. Heresies. I don't like your theology. That word ain't even in the Bible. Shut up. Huh? It's a word you made up. He ain't tell us to try to figure God out. He told us to believe. God told us to believe in Jesus. You ain't never going to be able to figure out God. So stop trying to hypothesize God. Jesus is Lord. Believe in what Jesus has done for you. And your theology is going to be all right. If you ain't doing this, your theology, since you got a name for it. Anyway. Envy, murder, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like. Look what he says here. Which I tell you beforehand. All right, he told him before. Just as I tell you in this time past. Look what it says. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I like to call them no fleshlings allowed. The fleshlings. Look at the fleshlings. Look at the fleshlings. No fleshlings allowed. Identity and code of conduct. Again, we are led by the Spirit, not the flesh. Look at John 16. We'll look at 13 through 15. Jesus said, however, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you. He guides you into what? All truth. Jesus is the truth. Everything else is a lie. So if they're not guiding you into who Jesus is and what he's done for you, you're being fed information that has nothing to do with your salvation. A lot of people preach a lot of goofy stuff to try to win people to Jesus. You do not have to use things that is not of truth to try to win people. Coming up with stuff to try. You win people with the simple truth about who Jesus is.
Yes.
You tell them what Jesus has done for you and what he can do for them, and that's how you win them. All this other stuff is just flesh trying to grow numbers to their whatever they say they're doing for Jesus. That they're not. You don't have to lie and use missing information, that's misinformation, to inform people. Use things that attract their flesh nature. They have such a wonderful children's ministry. Nothing wrong with a children's ministry. But the question is, are you there to receive Jesus? Did Jesus have a children's ministry? Yeah. It was men, women, and children all listening to Jesus teach. My wife was bringing to my attention, like back in the day when I would teach the word, how the children would be so quiet and listen. Because it was under the anointing. At some point, you know, we'll have a children's fellowship, church, ministry. But, you know, when you're laying a foundation, you're not going to have that stuff. And a lot of people don't get where God wants them because you're looking at amenities and you're not looking at Jesus. And you're not looking at what's being fed. You're going for the socialism of things, the social side of the church. That's the Holy Ghost right there. I got to put that there. You're going for the social side of the church. And there's nothing wrong with that. You're supposed to walk in love and socialize with one another. But are you really being built up in Jesus? You've been serving, you've been there for years, and nothing's really changed. And you got to start being honest. Been there, done that. It wasn't working. You get tired of the goalposts moving. Every time you think you're about to get breakthrough, the goalposts move again. Or as my wife brought to my attention, Charlie Brown, and who was that? Peppermint Patty kept moving the football. You think you're going to kick the football, you're going to kick it through the upright, and she moves the ball. That's the way religion was for me. And I got frustrated. I'm tired of the ball moving. I'm not talking about going from faith to faith. I'm talking about I'm trying to change and do something right. And Reverend always said, well, you ain't ready yet. Well, you ain't ready yet. And this is wrong with you. That is wrong with you. And you ain't this. You ain't that. No, what Reverend wanted is a carbon copy of himself. Mm-hmm. I'm going to preach and I'll tell you the truth. I can't be a carbon copy of no man. I got to be Brother Larry. And if you don't like my personality, you got a problem. Because God didn't change my personality. He changes our character on the inside.
Amen.
But I have to have an authentic, unique personality, and so do you. So what they don't like is your personality. Why? Because they're insecure and they want to make carbon copies after them. Okay, enough. However, then the Holy Spirit of truth has come. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Look at verse 14. He will glorify me. So the Holy Spirit always glorifies Jesus Christ. This is important to understand. That's how you know you're hearing the truth. Is the message glorifying the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Are they preaching God this and God that? The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. Always magnifies his Lordship. Makes him the preeminence. Jesus is supposed to be the preeminence of the message you're listening to. And I was telling somebody that. You know, I listen to people preach for a whole hour. They ain't mentioned Jesus' name once. Now come on up and give your life to Jesus. And everything I just told you from a psychological, analytical approach of my preaching. Come on, give your life to Jesus and God's going to change you. No, he's not. Because you didn't tell them that the Holy Spirit is the one that changes them. I remember I'm going to preach this thing. I don't care. It's going to help people because it's going to help people. I remember, Mom, when I was going through, church, trying to get change and things of that nature, I finally, I'm going to say this name, getting Wayne Dreyer books. My wife was dipping in some, getting self-help. So I don't think she ever knew that. I was getting self-help books. It wasn't Christian books. It was self-help. I wanted help because I wasn't being taught that Jesus was my help. I wasn't being taught that he was my deliverer. I wasn't being taught that he was my heart healer. He heals the broken heart. He removes the heartache and the pain and shame. The power of that anointing of Jesus Christ does it. So when you're not in an atmosphere where that anointing is flowing, healing will never come inside of you. Do you understand that? So it takes a person that has been healed and delivered and understand the healing power of Jesus for things to change in people's life. Remember the madman of Gadara. Okay? There's a storm that tried to stop them from getting to the other side. Why? Because the reason for your storms, for those that are delivered, is there's people on the underside of the storm trying to stop you from getting to them. Why? Because if you get them, you're going to bring deliverance to them. Glory to God. Get what I'm saying. That's why this thing takes, it seems like it's a fight. Because it is a spiritual fight. Nobody, the devil don't want people to hear truth. You can stay in church bound for 18 years serving, but the devil don't want you to get truth. Because when Jesus, the truth, showed up, what happened? She got free. The woman that was bound for 18 years got free from the truth. She got free from the truth, by the truth. Yeah. Jesus, the truth. She got free, not from the truth, by the truth. She got free by the truth. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Thank you for helping me out here. Help a brother out. Help a brother out. Glory to God. Glory to God. I told God, I get mush mouth. Lord, I say to her, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. He helped me. I got me a mouthpiece. My wife is helping me. Glory to God. So the madman of Gadara. Yes, Lord. The madman of Gadara. What happened? Jesus got over there and set him free. The reason for the storm is so it is trying to not let Jesus get over there. But part of it was a training. He was training his disciples for reigning. He was training. They were being trained for training for reigning. He says, where is your faith at? Their faith was supposed to be in what Jesus said. Let's go to the other side. They're supposed to stand up in that boat and rebuke the storm in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, we're going to the other side. Mm-hmm. The storm would have. Who said? The storm would go. Who said it? Jesus said it. The storm go, okay, get out the way, get out the way. Jesus. See, why? Because they understood. Jesus was training them in their ambassadorship. Glory to God, glory to God. It's going to take me a minute to get this message done here, man. See, he was walking and teaching them how to walk in kingdom authority. So, yeah, we're dealing with some demons right now trying to hold people out of here. But no. But I understand. I'm going to keep speaking to every four wind to get up, God's people.
Hallelujah. Yes.
The children that God has given me are for signs and wonders. Glory to God. I declare and I decree it. They're coming out of them places. Because they want to be free. People want to be free. I was in a situation a few days ago. People want answers. Instead of teaching them the answer, who is Jesus, they're teaching them all this other junk that ain't got nothing to do with Jesus. Mm-hmm. Look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. That's all you had to do is look to Jesus. And so what happened when he got to the other side? There goes a madman in Gadara. And he rebuked the evil spirits. The madman in Gadara wanted to go with him. Jesus said, no. Go back and tell them all the good things, all the things that the Lord has done for you. He was clothed and his right mind. Glory to God. Clothed and in his right mind. What's Jesus trying to get us to understand? Effective ministry is going back and telling people about your deliverance. Telling people how he set you free.
Come on.
You understand what I'm saying? Tell people how Jesus helped you.
Come on.
Tell people, doggone it. That gives them real hope because you become the living fruit of the deliverance. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. When people see your change, it motivates them to come to Jesus to get their change. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's why hypocrisy is a disgusting thing. And people that got problems that want to be helped can see hypocrisy a mile away.
Yeah,
I can. I know that you ain't doing what you living because you don't teach me how to do it. If you ain't teaching me how to do it, I know you ain't living it. You understand what I'm saying? You preaching at me to beat me up, to keep me in the seats, to make me feel condemned. But the truth liberates you.
Yes, it does.
That's right. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's continue on here. I think I'm going to finish with this. I'm going to pick it up on Thursday. Isaiah 30. So Isaiah 30, 19 through 21 is a prophetic promise of restoration. Glory to God. Lives are being restored right now, doggone it. I said lives are going to be restored. Whole families are going to be restored.
Amen.
So it's a promise of restoration, guidance, and intimacy with God. Glory to God. That's what you need, is some intimacy. Getting to know God and Jesus. What God has already provided for you through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. When you put your faith in it, heaven comes and manifests it. Glory to God. Glory to God. When you put your faith in what Jesus has done for you, the Holy Spirit, the power of God, the kingdom of God, manifests it for you. But you got to have faith. Why? Because the kingdom operates by spiritual law of faith. Faith is a spiritual law.
Yes, it is.
It ain't just something you do. It's a spiritual law that moves heaven. Glory to God in your favor. Hey. The devil know you got to believe to receive. That's why he fights your faith so much. I'm going to say it again. The devil know that you got to believe to receive. That's why he fights your faith so much. I'm talking about your faith in Jesus. I ain't talking about your faith in all this other goofy stuff. I said Jesus, his lordship, his prosperity he provided for you, his healing he's provided for you, his deliverance he's provided for you. The devil fights that with intellectualism and religious systems of men. Psychoanalytical preaching that ain't got nothing to do with the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the cross. It's a form of godliness, but it denies the power of the Holy Ghost that changes people. Girl, you preach that word, you got me excited, man. Got me on fire. So it's a spoken word to us about his people.
Yes.
The people of Judah during a time of rebellion and misplaced trust. People left the church because they had a misplaced trust of the church. They were trusting the church and not trusting their Savior, Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Jesus builds the church on the rock. On the rock, a revelation of who he is. He builds his church, people, on the rock, a revelation of what he's done for them. That's how people get built up. When they understand what Jesus has done for them. Why you leave the church? Because nobody was telling me that I was holy, acceptable, and above reproach in God's eyesight. No one was teaching me to say and acknowledge every good thing that was in me was in Christ. But when I discovered the law of displacement, that when I what I meditate on in my heart, hallelujah, I speak with my mouth, and it becomes. That's the way you got saved, and that's the way you get everything in the kingdom. You got to believe in your heart and say with your mouth that Jesus is my healer. You got to believe in your heart and say it in your mouth that Jesus is my prosperity and my plenty. Woo, glory to God. And heaven, the kingdom of heaven, will manifest it in your life. How? I don't know. That's why it's called faith. It's not my job to figure out how he's going to do it. It's my job to believe it. You're a believer. My job is to believe. It's God's job to perform his word.
Come on.
Huh? I keep doing the natural thing necessary, the natural right things in life, and things begin to happen. Glory to God. You don't understand, man. I ain't got a blessing this. See, when God prospers you from your obedience, well, you talk smack about him. Not me, him. I'm talking smack about my Jesus. I be more obedient. The more he bless you for your obedience, the more obedience you do. I'm obedient because he blessed me. He said, do this, Larry. Work here. Oh, Lord, okay. And I'm prospering. I don't know how it's working, Mom, but I'm making more money than I did when I started. A lot more. Benefits better. I don't know how this stuff works, man. Things just happen. It's called obedience. The kingdom working for me. The king. All right, what's time? Let me read this. For the people shall dwell. He shall. Zion is symbolic of the church. The people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. No more weeping. I ain't crying about nothing no more. No more weeping. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you. Glory to God. At the sound of your cry. Hey, glory to God. It's gracious time. It's time for his graciousness. Cry out for help. Cry out for mercy. Help me, God. And here comes the graciousness of God. Because that's the kingdom. You're a citizen of the kingdom. Oh, so you became a citizen of your church denomination. I ain't a citizen of no denomination. I'm a citizen of heaven. Glory to God. And that's when things start happening. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I'll get happy all by myself. Because I was going to hell all by myself. Now I'm going to heaven all by myself. If nobody else go, I don't care. Because I know there's a heaven to shun. When you know this stuff, you change. Yeah, no one go to hell. You know, I mean, there's a hell to shun, not a heaven. Excuse me. There's a heaven to shun. I'm gonna say it again. There's a heaven to gain.
Yes.
I know there's a heaven to gain.
Yes, it is.
Because he pulled me out of hell. He pulled me out of the fire. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Some of y'all, man, I don't even want you to have the experience I had. I got to read this, man. And though the Lord gave you bread of adversity and water of affliction, no more bread of adversity or water of affliction. That's because when you're disobedient, things happen. It's called the law of disobedience. It's a spiritual law. Heaven and earth gives witness to your disobedience. Oh, glory to God. But your eyes shall, look at this. But your eyes shall see your teachers. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, I want you to see that. Your eyes shall see your teachers or your teachings. You'll understand the teachings of the Lord. Your ears will hear the word behind you saying, go this way and walk in it. You'll get divine revelation and guidance from God.
Hallelujah.
That will bring prosperity and plenty in your life, healing and health, deliverance. Things will begin to change in your life. Glory to God. I'm going to stop, and I got to finish the rest of this on Thursday, Father God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity sharing your word today, Father God. You know who is going to listen. I ask that your Holy Spirit bring healing and deliverance to them, Father God. Open up the spiritual eyes and ears so they can hear the spiritual truth that you hid on the inside of them. Let this water word, this word water the word that's in their spirit. You've hid eternity in their hearts, Father God. Water it. Bring life so that they can have that kingdom resurgence. Give us get everyone to their place of a divine alignment, breaking the power of the enemy off their life. Give them the courage to move in the things you've ordained them to move in. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, praise God, that's all for today. I can't share any more. I hope you were blessed. I'll pick up on Thursday with this. Amen.